It is good being here with you again. Welcome. It's always a pleasure to be with you. The world is a cosmic joke. Would you agree with that? Not sick, cosmic.
A joke means funny.
Sickness is the way the mind perceives it.
But you see it as amusing when you say joke.
It says cosmic joke. Why is it a cosmic joke? Because our real nature is moksha, liberation. Freedom, unalloyed happiness, bliss. Yet we imagine that we are bound. We imagine we are the personal self, bound by our environment, by karma. And limited. So what do? We frantically search for ways to become self-realized. We practice various yoga techniques. We look for teachers, we read books. We play with our kundalinis. We do all sorts of weird things to become free. But we are already free. And there's really nothing we have to do but become still. That's the cosmic joke. We are liberated beings, and we're running around trying to free ourselves. Here's a simple illustration. A person comes here to this satsang, sits with me, and because my talks are usually boring, he goes to sleep. He dreams. He dreams he's a wanderer. He takes a plane to Tibet, studies with the lamas, then goes to India, and goes through many austerities, fasting, performs many sadhanas, then flies to Japan, goes into a Zen monastery for a few years, then goes for a vacation on a Caribbean island, meets a lady and gets married, has three children. Children grow up, get married. He has grandchildren. He gets old, wonders what he's accomplished, ready to drop the body. Then he wakes up. And he's right here at satsang. He hadn't gone anywhere. He hadn't done anything. He never searched for enlightenment. He never got married. He never had children. He never got old. He never died. He awakened. And he's right here where he's always been. This is true of us. We are right where we're supposed to be, free and happy. But some illusion called the personal self, the I thought, tells us quite a different story. It tells us that we're starving, things are bad, we can't find gainful employment. It shows us all kinds of pictures in our mind. And we fall into deeper delusion. This is called Maya. The grand illusion, the cosmic joke. There's nothing we have to search for. There's really no sadhana we have to practice. Meditation, mantras, the worship of gods, rituals to deities, this is not the real us. These are simply concepts. We're following somebody else's thoughts. By believing if we do this sincerely, we will awaken and become free. But we already awakened, and we're already free. Yet it's paradoxical. Due to the fact that when we went to grammar school, we learned the multiplication table. And that was sort of the substratum for higher mathematics. Without the multiplication table, we would have never gone on to higher mathematics. So again, for some people, these things are necessary. Ritual worship, surrender to God, mantras, chanting. These things are sometimes important to some of us. Yet they do not liberate you. Liberation comes by itself. But if we have not practiced the ritualistic worship, the mantras, the chanting, and the other things, we will become aggressive, arrogant, cynical. Whereas we have to develop humility and compassion. Someone asks, you mean when we see the homeless, suffering, man's inhumanity to man, we ought to do nothing? The answer, of course, is although you know that this is a dream, you are the dreamer. As long as you feel there is suffering, there are homeless, then it is your duty to be of service. In other words, you are part of the dream. That's what you believe. How can you tell if you're part of the dream? When these things appear real to you and you feel them. If you feel them, you have to do social work and help to alleviate the suffering. When you help someone else, you're really helping yourself, because there's only one. There's one self. When you do social work, you help the sick, the homeless. Whom are you helping? No one else but yourself. So as long as you believe the world is real and you feel the world, you feel your body and your mind, your thoughts, as being real, and you believe that you are the doer, it is therefore your duty to be of service. Science tells us that every so-called human being emits a certain frequency, a certain vibration of different colors. Occultists call this an aura. And all of the auras emitted by individuals are basically the same. Some are more sattvic, some are more rajastic, some are more tamas, some are more pure than others. But they're basically the same. Therefore, when you help the homeless, you are merging your vibratory force with theirs. And you are lifting yourselves up together to a higher frequency. This is because there's only one self. Now the frequency vibration of the sage is 100 million times stronger than the human vibration. This frequency is called divine grace. Now can you see why it says in all of the highest scriptures that to be of service to the sage is the highest sadhana you can perform? For when you are of service to the sage, you are mingling your aura with the sage's aura. And since the sage's so-called form that emits an aura is 1 million times stronger than the human beings, the sage's vibrations, which is called divine grace, lifts up the human being to a high frequency and releases them from karmic influences and sets them free. As long as you believe you are a human being, you have to perform a service to each other, to everybody. When you awaken, you will be yourself. And you will be service. You will be compassion. You will be wisdom. You will be an embodiment of humility. How do you see life? What do you see every day in your life? What do you feel? Do you get so caught up in the world that you forget who you are and you feel the world closing in on you? Are you trying to achieve goodness for yourself? Trying to accumulate possessions? To become powerful? You can have name and fame in this world? What a waste of energy. What a waste of time. All of your name and fame, your possessions, must go sooner or later. Your body must go. Your belief system must go. Everything must be let go. Whether you like it or not, it will happen. Therefore, what do you do with your time? Most of you worry about something. You look at the world situation. You look at your situation. You wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. Why not let go of all that and work on transcending the personal self, which is merely an I thought? This should be your main goal. Never mind what's happened up to now. You may be the happiest human being on earth. You may be the most miserable human being on earth. They're two sides of the same coin. As long as you are a human being, it is not reality. The only thing that happens to a human being, their life keeps changing, 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 consistently. There's always change going on. Because this world, this universe, is not steady. It is not a solid. No thing is solid in this universe. It is all vibrations. And the deeper you go into the vibrations, the quieter it becomes. Until there's total nothingness. The total nothingness is that substratum called consciousness, of which most of us know nothing about, for we cannot explain it, we cannot demonstrate it, we cannot know it. As long as our mind focuses on the I thought and the personal self. Therefore, sages have admonished that we awaken. That we simply awaken. Yet most intelligent people cannot accept that. They believe in their senses. So the sage has to invent a method, a way of awakening. And this is called sadhana, your spiritual practices. You learn to sit and meditate on an object. It makes you one-pointed. It causes you to concentrate. You're given a mantra. These are only games. Yet some people have to do these things. The way to total freedom is association and service to the sage. Why kid ourselves? This is the way we wake up. The sage is really yourself, all pervading. The first thing you should do is to surrender completely and fully to the self. Let go of everything. Your whole belief system, all of those concepts that you've had inside of you for so long, your analytical mind, all of your thoughts, they've all got to go. If you want to become free, you cannot hold on to anything. You have to empty yourself out entirely. I'm not saying that physically you have to give away everything you own, or leave your family or quit your job. I'm saying you have to do this mentally. It begins in your mind. As you do your work, as you work with your family, as you perform social work with the homeless, you do not feel that I am the doer, or I am superior to them. I've got something and they do not, so I'm helping them. You realize that you're surrendering to God. Everything is God or karma. God is karma. You're giving up your karma. As you let go of everything, mentally. It is only then that you will shine. For you have always shone. You have always been consciousness. But you got so caught up in the world that you have forgotten who you are. Remember who you are. Remember. Who were you before you were born? If you sit still, the answer will come to you. Before you were born, I am. You have always been I am. All of your births, all of your deceased, everything that prevails cannot eliminate the I am. You are I am. When you sit in the silence, it will come to you. You will see how the body came to be and how the body goes. And a new body comes to be and a new body goes. But you are alive. The real you persists. Nothing can ever destroy it. Water cannot drown it. Fire cannot burn it. whatever happens to the body in this world cannot eliminate the I am. It has nothing to do with your age. Or whether you're well or sick, or rich or poor. It is the self. It has always been and will always be. It is you. You never were a human being. You just have forgotten your real nature, and you're living the mortal dream. I ask you to awaken. I ask you to awaken now. Feel yourself awakening. Feel your body melting. Dissolving. Yet no real change is taking place. For there's nothing to change. You see, there's no real body that has to be transformed. We're not speaking of transformation. You're not transforming your body into a body of light or into consciousness or into absolute reality. What appears to be your body is the self. Pure awareness. This appears to be your body. And the body you look at in the mirror does not even exist. If your body really existed, you would have a very hard time with it, to get rid of it. Your body, like the world, the universe, what we call God, has no real existence by itself. It is the self which permeates the universe. Everything is the self. That's why everything is sacred. That's what Moses meant when he said, "The ground upon which I stand is holy ground." There is no thing that has any life by itself. Now can you see why in your illusory state you should be kind to animals, to the vegetable kingdom, to the mineral kingdom, to the human kingdom, why you must reconcile yourself with those kingdoms. Because they're all God. And what you do to the world of appearances, you're doing to yourself. Wake up. Give up all your foolish habits. There is absolutely nothing to fear and nothing to fight. There's absolutely nothing to overcome, nothing to rectify. There's absolutely nothing to achieve. Nothing to want, to desire. How can you desire anything when you are the universe? What I appear to be sharing with you may sound like it's far away someplace, but it's not. You are that. You are that. You are that infinite consciousness which knows no other. You are free. Enjoy your freedom. You must think of yourself from now on as being unlimited beauty and joy. All pervading. Self-contained. Nothing can ever harm you. The universe is not set up in its illusory form to harm anyone or to bring dastardly conditions upon any situation. What you behold in this world is an appearance, an optical illusion, a dream. You can accept when you go to sleep, you dream. You can accept the fact that you may dream that you're going to a satsang like this, and you're sitting there listening, absorbing. Then you wake up. And there's no one but you. In the same way, you awaken now to your total reality. This is but another dream. You have to question everything. Do not accept anything without questioning it. Ask who's feeling this. To whom does it come? Realize that you are not the I thought. You are not the ego, nor the mind, nor are you the doer. Therefore, who am I? And then whatever else comes to you, deny that also. If something tells you I am consciousness, that has to be denied, because I can never be consciousness. Negate everything that comes to you when you practice self-inquiry. Negate absolute reality, God. Everything must be gotten rid of, all concepts. They're just words. When you awaken to yourself, there will be no words that you speak. You will just become being, absolute being. Not being this or being that. Just being. Your true self. Yet in the meantime, as you are experiencing this mortal dream, deny all the experiences that come to you. No thing has ever happened in your life that was not necessary for your growth and your unfoldment. If you believe that someone hurt you, or someone did something to you long ago, or your parents abused you, whatever may have happened in your life, you needed those experiences. I know it sounds strange, but you needed to go through those experiences to be here now. If it weren't for the experiences you've had in your life, you'd be bowling this afternoon. Or crying over something. Or arguing with someone. Therefore, every experience that you've had in your life has led you here. It's all good. There are no mistakes. A day should not go by when you do not question, to whom has this come? You have to remember to remember. You start in the morning and you go through the day remembering, not this, not this. The good experiences, the bad experiences, the in-between experiences. The boredom. Everything that's going on in your life. You observe it. You inquire, to whom has this come? You watch, you become the witness. You never react. Your job is to let go and let God. Whenever I speak the word of God, I'm referring to karma. God is the same as karma. Everything takes care of itself. You are in your right place, going through those experiences that are necessary. Some of them may appear hard. Whatever appears hard, surrender that. Give it up. Whatever appears to hurt you, do not think about it or cry about it. Surrender it. Give it up. Whatever appears from anywhere, and these are also for good experiences, do not believe you are a body experiencing good experiences. You will always be disappointed. Allow the so-called body to do what it came here to do. It knows what to do. But in your mind, always feel that you are not the body or the experience. And question, to whom does it come? This is your job. This is all you have to do if you want to practice sadhana. Of course, when I say to you, wake up now, some of you may wake up, some of you may not. You will know when you wake up. You will be in an effortless, thought-free state. The thoughts will no longer come to you. You will feel bliss. You will be the universe. So awaken now and forget everything else. Feel free to ask any questions.
Robert, many teachers, after they've had their enlightenment experience, say they do not sleep, that their consciousness remains the same, whether the body is sleeping or not sleeping, or the body doesn't sleep. What happens to consciousness? With most of us, there's an alternation of waking consciousness, deep sleep, dream consciousness, drinking consciousness, whatever, many different kinds of consciousness. But apparently, to the enlightened person, there's only one steady consciousness, the I am, or whatever you want to call it. What's going on there? Have you any explanation?
You're talking about personal consciousness. There's only one consciousness, and that consciousness is all-pervading. It is always that. There is never any other consciousness. There's nothing that can interfere with it. It is always just plain consciousness. When you're sleeping, when you're awake, when you're playing, that is the dream. That is the delusion. That is like the what and the mirage, the snake and the rope. It's an optical illusion that you're sleeping, that you're awake, that you're playing, that you're going through different experiences. Consciousness just is. You cannot say that true consciousness is sleeping or doing anything else. True consciousness is absolute reality. It is all pervading. It is. Everything else is an illusion.
So waking, sleeping, dreaming, come to consciousness, or our appearance is unconsciousness.
Waking, sleeping, dreaming do not come to consciousness. It is all an optical illusion. It doesn't exist. Nothing comes to consciousness. Consciousness just is. But the way you think of consciousness, you're thinking of it in a human form. That's a thing, that it's something that happens to you. Nothing happens to you. Nothing transpires. There's no one who sleeps. There's no one who dreams. There's no one who plays. That's all illusion. When you become consciousness, you just become being. And that is something you cannot understand as a human being. But I understand how to go with that.
These things, what is your consciousness going to do?
I don't have a personal consciousness, so I will not do anything. Do these things mean? Which things mean? There's a bee swarm in my apple juice.
He's on vacation.
Pick it out.
He never learned how to swim. He's drowning.
Rescue the bee.
Come.
Yeah. Noble act.
I'll come back as a bee in the next line.
Come back as a. Come back as a psychologist. Frustrated psychologist.
The bee will.
Yeah. And Edward will come back as a bee.
It's got some pollen in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Very healthy.
He just enriched it for you.
So what else is going on?
So Robert, this one state that underlines everything. It's not the same as deep sleep, for it's merged in a, like an unconscious consciousness. And it's not the same as awaking, like we are now where we're awake, but we're not awake to consciousness, we're awake to the personal life. It's different from both.
It's neither this nor that. It's not sleeping, it's not awaking. It's beyond everything. It's something that we cannot comprehend. It has nothing to do with the world. Try to remember that the world doesn't exist as it appears.
Does it exist at all?
No.
It's neither this nor that.
It doesn't exist as it appears, but it could exist in a way that it doesn't appear.
It doesn't exist the way it appears, and it doesn't exist the way it doesn't appear.
Neither this way nor that way.
That's very
right?
Clear.
Maybe. I
like
took care of that one.
It's hard to see that, I admit. Here we see a bunch of us sitting, talking. We see trees, we see bees. We see apple juice, we see egg.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you that it's not real. There's really nothing going on.
Yeah. But the whole thing is that you can't see it the way you see it unless you see it. Until seeing it, it's all...
There's no seer to see.
Like a big soup pot?
I still want you to explain it in words.
Yeah, right.
We were just telling you.
From your point of view. From your point of view, there's no center.
There's no center, there's no circumference. There's no soup pot, there's no soup.
That's a good
look. How do you expect any of us to believe you?
I don't.
Right. Okay, let's go. If you believe,
good riddance.
It'll prevent you from
experiencing that.
What's that, Jay?
If people believe what you say, it'll prevent them from experiencing
it. True. It's not a question of belief. Because what believes? Your mind. It is your mind that says, I believe something or I don't believe that. If there's no mind, what is there to believe? There's no belief system. There's no entity who believes anything. There's plain nothing.
It seems to be just the opposite. I think most everybody here believes you, but no one understands it. I mean, I wonder if what we believe what we don't understand.
You can't believe what you don't understand. You really don't believe it deeply. If you believe it somehow, there would be something in you that clicks.
We trust.
In God we trust.
You trust in something, but you don't know what it is. And when you know what it is, then you believe what he's saying because it matches your experience.
If you didn't believe us, you wouldn't trek up here every week.
I've got nothing else to do.
Hey, we wouldn't believe it.
You have nothing else to do.
But what do we believe? We don't know what we believe. It's just something, an ideal.
Tell me what you believe.
We trust that it's all right.
Well, we believe you're not lying to us.
Why?
I don't know.
Everything he says is a lie.
Yeah, anything he says is a lie.
Exactly. Words are all lies.
So you're leading us to a place that's not a lie, so it's worth it.
How do you know? How can you tell?
I don't know.
Prove it.
I'm in the same boat.
Nowhere to stand.
Sinking. There's no boat.
No boat. Nothing to sink.
The only solution is to dive deep within yourself and see the reality. That is the only solution. There's no reality in words. There's no reality in the senses. Reality is consciousness. Consciousness is the Atman. The Atman is Brahman. Brahman is the Self. And that just is. It is nothing you can ever expect to know with your senses. But as you become sincere, as you begin to give up the world and the worldly things in your mind, something will awaken within you, and you will know. You will begin to feel total happiness, unalloyed happiness. A happiness you never felt before in your life. It is beyond human happiness. They call that bliss. And from that moment on, the world will never be able to hurt you again. For the world has become your servant. No longer your master. So dive deep, deep within yourself and find the answers you're looking for. What have you got to say to that?
Who dives?
Who died?
Dives.
Who dives? Who do you think dives? Whomever you think dives, that's the one who dives. As long as you believe you are the body, then you're able to dive. Because there's somebody to dive. When there's no longer a body, there's no one to dive.
Can't consciousness dive within itself?
Consciousness cannot do anything but be itself.
Diving is being itself.
Like diving in
than being itself.
Like diving in a swimming pool.
No, that's too gross.
If you
don't be so gross, Robert.
Either.
So really, Robert, if you understand
diving
what
the
you're
ether.
Saying.
Diving in the ether. Nothing diving in nothing.
Robert, if you understand what you're saying, the person understands, there's nothing to do at all. You don't even have to dive. You just come to rest in what is.
Well, if you wake up, that's it. We can't comprehend a thing like consciousness. That does nothing, yet is everything. It's beyond our comprehension. The finite mind can never know this. That's why we say consciousness just is. it is not this and it is not that. Consciousness doesn't have to die because consciousness already is. It is the ego that dies.
Why did consciousness manifest?
It never did.
That should finish you off.
More on that, please.
Consciousness is what we call absolute reality. It just is. It never does anything because there's nothing to do. The only way you can comprehend this a little bit is by thinking of something that takes up all space and time. There's no room for anything. It is itself. There's no teeny-weeny space for anything to happen. That's it. There's nothing else. Therefore, it cannot do anything because there's no space for it to do anything. It fills up all space itself. Everything else that you see is a mirage, an optical illusion. It's like hypnosis. When you're hypnotized, you can be made to do many things. Yet when you wake up, you don't remember those things. They don't exist. Do not allow the world to fool you with its good and bad. Go beyond the world to the twilight zone. Would you like to read the Annie Marie?
Yani, who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living and even when the body falls dead, the Yani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Yani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. Ajani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to sing a song, Karina?
Oh, sure. Sure, I'd love to. Another one I'd like to share with you all. Oh, I'm never sure of title, that sort of stick something there, Road to Nowhere. Out of the darkness into the light, struggling to break free from these chains that bind me to my misery, looking for something I cannot find with such a busy mind. Why can't I just let go now, leave the world behind? Well, I'm on the road to nowhere. It's a place on no one's map. And when I get there, I'm never coming back. Out of my mind and into my heart, as simple as it seems, I must rediscover what this really means. Over and over, watching the scenes, images on a screen. When the movie's over, we're stuck with what remains. Well, I'm on the road to nowhere. It's a place on no one's map. And when I get there, I'm never coming back.
Thank you, Karen.
Me too. Bravo. Bravo, bravo.
Do we have any announcements?
Maybe one announcement will be try the carpool more. Even maybe, what's that store? There's a beachfront store? Beachwood store?
Beachwood Market. On Belden, Beachwood Market.
Yeah, Beachwood Market, that's it. And maybe even if people can't carpool from their homes, maybe some of us can see about picking up people down there and coming.
You mean just grabbing anybody we see? Him?
That's important, Martin. Let Robert get hold of him. That's a good idea because the guy across the street is beefing that he has no place for his friends can park and so on. So
he has friends.
Anyway, it's his nature to do so.
also parking in the red around the cul-de-sac, which may or may not be dangerous if somebody was mad at Enbridge.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't get, wouldn't do anything to me.
No, I know.
Who was parked there gets the ticket.
But if someone is angry about all the parking,
that may be
an
excuse.
Place, they may use that as an excuse. So, careful.
Always remember who you are. You are absolute reality, pure awareness, Parabrahman, Satchitananda, Nirvana, emptiness, ultimate reality. You are not the body or the mind or the doer. God bless you. Peace. Om Shanti. Until we meet again. You are free to roam the world.
Don't go away.